Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, and Adam Vingan here with you. Ask D-Mace, coming up at around 12:30. So if you've got questions for Derek, you can text them to us now at 615-737-1025. You can also call in around 12:30 for Ask D-Mace. Looking forward to that. Honestly, we weren't planning on doing more than an hour of Predators talk, but the phone lines have been jammed, and so have so has the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So we're going to continue it for just a little bit longer. But I want to go back to the conversation, Willie, you were having with Matt, also Matt from the 757, wonderful area code, I should always point out. A lot of good, smart hockey fans come from the 757, yours truly included.
Some.
Only some. Just me and Matt. Just kidding. But he is referencing a story that I wrote at the end of the 2022 season, which I found during the break. The headline of the story was, "The Predators won't get better until they allow themselves to get worse." And that was me arguing at that time that the competitive transition, the competitive rebuild, whatever the term was that David Poile coined and I think came to regret because we all threw it back in his face when the team was struggling, I just didn't think that was a way to win a championship. And I thought that the Predators, after so many years of giving it a try to win and going all in, it didn't work, they needed to take a step back. And Willie, I hear what you're saying about the Blackhawks. As you mentioned, the Blackhawks fired their coach Luke Richardson yesterday. It has not gone well. They have not made the playoffs, the actual playoffs, since the Predators swept them out of the playoffs in 2017. It has not gone well for the Blackhawks. I think what Matt's point was, and I think the team that typified this is the team that won the Stanley Cup when I wrote that story, the Colorado Avalanche. The Colorado Avalanche went through some lean years, several lean years, but it helped them get Cale Makar. It helped get them Nathan MacKinnon. It helped get them Mikko Rantanen and Gabriel Landeskog. And those players, those top-line players, were the reason why the Avalanche won the Stanley Cup. Willie, you will remember this as well as I do. When the Predators beat the Avalanche in the playoffs in 2018, when they were the President's Trophy winners, the Avalanche gave them a series. And I remember watching that series, even after the Predators eliminated the Avalanche in, I believe, six games, I thought, that Avalanche team is on the rise. That team is going to be a force to be reckoned with for years to come, and it ultimately has been. So I hear what Matt is saying, that, look, the Predators may not have a choice. I mean, with how poorly this season is going, they may be in such a deep hole that they are playing for lottery odds as opposed to a playoff spot.
Well, I think that's kind of ironic because that could end up happening this year. You just have a year where nothing goes right. You get a high first-round pick. But let's not forget that what they never did was mortgage the future. They have
That's true.
Accumulated a lot of assets. They haven't traded their first-round pick since 2018. And they didn't trade it before that for a number of years. So they've got a lot of guys that they have attempted anyway. We can go back through all the first round picks, right? They haven't hit on a home run in a long time in the draft, which is something that they are in need of. They need some of these guys that they pick to turn into game changing kind of players, right, in the next few years. That's important. And they may have an opportunity to be in the lottery this year, which would be nice. I'll give you an interesting part of their history. In 2013, which was a shortened season because of a lockout, the Predators cratered. They had been a playoff team that had won playoff rounds in back-to-back years. They had made the playoffs three straight years. It was the height of an up-and-coming Pekka and two emerging superstars on the blue line, Shea Weber and Ryan Suter. And the rest of their team was okay, right? They had a good rest of the team, but those three guys were the anchor, and they won playoff series for the first time, right? Even beating the Red Wings in 2012. The next year, they sort of fell off a cliff. Ryan Suter left for free agency. Shea Weber had the whole offer sheet thing that was awkward. It sort of was the beginning of, oh, what the heck happened here? Pecorine started to have the injury. Everybody else got hurt, and they sunk all the way, and they got the fourth pick. And they got Seth Jones, which they turned into Ryan Johansson. And then very quickly, after another year where Pecorine got hurt, then they had the Peter Laviolette run, which was still the best run that they've ever had. So there's a lot of in-betweens to where you have to do the full send, break it down to the wood, and start over. Because I think if you look at what's happening in Anaheim, Ottawa, Buffalo, Chicago,
Detroit,
it is not as easy as you think to just say, well, let's just get the first pick in the draft a couple years. It's hard. I do not subscribe for that. And in turn for that, like what the caller said that disappointed me was, for a guy that goes to all the games and clearly watches intently, are we taking for granted when you do have the great moments, a 16-0-2 run, every game is relevant during the year? I mean, spending a 7 or 8 years of basically, like how hard have these 26 games been to watch for a Predator fan? Hard. Not used to this, right? This is the team. I have not seen a team struggle like this team has struggled for a long, long time. So let's not take for granted that, you know, no, they haven't won the Stanley Cup. And, yeah, they haven't had as many playoff runs as everybody would like. But they have played relevant hockey and winning hockey. Let's give them credit for that. That's a lot more fun than watching a team finish 30th or 31st for about 7 straight years.
And the other thing missing, by the way, and then we'll get to your calls at 615-737-1025. The other thing, of course, is the Blackhawks won 3 Stanley Cups in 6 years. Mm-hmm. So you can live with the lean years when you have championship banners, which the Blackhawks do. The Kings, who won 2 cups in 3 years in 2012 and 2014, they underwent some lean years, but they had those cups to fall back on. Daryl is on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Daryl, thank you for waiting. Please go ahead.
Hey guys, how you doing today?
Good, thank you.
Real quick, I want to get you guys give my thought and get you and Willie's thoughts on what I'm getting ready to say. I'm a Florida Panthers fan. And the year that Quenneville got let go because of his doggo debacle, Brunette came in and took over a team that actually won the President's Cup, and then I think we got swept by Tampa in the first round that year. But that
second
team,
round, they won the first round against the Capitals, and then lost to Tampa in the second round.
Oh, got you. I guess chemistry is trying. This is the word I'm thinking of when it comes to Brunette. The big complaint about from Panthers fans, and we all know he wasn't asked to come back, because the team had a lot of chemistry that year with Huberdeau and Barkov and et cetera. But the big complaint about Brunette wasn't the regular season. It was him trying to make decisions or not making decisions. It may have been because of inexperience. I don't know. Was his inability to balance lines and find chemistry with that team. And I think that's basically why the Panthers didn't have him back. Now, he's a nice guy. He's a great guy. And I know he knows his X's and O's. But when it comes down to crunch time, when it came to crunch time that year, he didn't seem to be able to make the decisions that he needed to make. In playoffs, we all know that playoffs is defense first. He kept that offense first mentality, and that, like you said, Willie, they crashed in the second round. So my argument is, I know Brunette's a good coach, and he has record speak, you know, as far as wins and losses speaks for itself. But I guess chemistry and his indecision, his either inability to make decisions, finding chemistry at crunch time, or his refusal to, I don't know, but that's just how I see it. That's just my take on it. I'll hang up and listen.
Thank you, Daryl. Willie, please feel free to take that one if you'd like.
Well, I didn't follow the Panthers every game, but they won the President's Trophy. I think the chemistry was pretty good, and it's not like they flopped in the first round. They did beat a pretty good Washington team in the first round with Ovechkin and Peter Laviolette and those guys. So that wasn't – let's give them that. And then they lost to a team that went to 3 straight Stanley Cup finals and won 2. So they lost to one of the best teams of the salary cap era. We're putting everything, you're judging Andrew Burnett's coaching career on four games, and he did get a rap on that, right? That was the narrative. What the caller said was the narrative, and maybe used as to why they went with Paul Maurice instead of Andrew Burnett as the permanent coach after that season. But he was nominated for the Jack Adams, so let's give him that. Every coach has got things that they emphasize, things that they don't. I don't know that there's such thing as a perfect coach. Like that, there's always strengths and weaknesses in coaches. I think Andrew Burnett is an incredible hockey mind. He's a savant that can tell you so much about the game. But man, he can't figure this one out. And everybody on that team is just completely puzzled as to why it's gotten to this point.
If that was, say that was one of the underlying reasons why the Florida Panthers chose not to bring him back. And now, Willie, you're seeing sort of the same sort of MO. Him not, and it started early on. This is not something that started like two or three games ago, and he can't, you know, the Lions just can't, you know, figure themselves out. This is something that they've been struggling with since the beginning of the season. So if that was a narrative in Florida, then maybe the narrative is not too far from the truth, because he's still trying to find lines that can click, even though you have players that can score goals. We all know that. You went out and you paid handsomely for them. But for some strange reason, you haven't been able to get that chemistry or put a line together that can give you that consistent winning chemistry that you're going to need.
And I would the tough part about that is I thought the chemistry was great last year with Andrew Burnett. So, you know, it's hard to figure out why these things kind of happen. It is very, very it's a maddening game where I think football is a little bit more of just, and basketball too. If you've got the horses, you're going to win. I think sometimes baseball and hockey have a little bit of, when you have a hitting slump or a scoring slump, you just can't figure out what you're doing wrong. Like what, how do I get out of this? It's crazy. Like Aaron Judge is a great example for baseball, where his first month he was getting booed and he ended up having a unanimous MVP vote. And then in the postseason, he couldn't buy a hit, right? They were all over him. And when they lost the World Series, he basically did nothing. He dropped a fly ball. Like, how does that happen? I don't know, but it happens more in baseball. Like, that would never have happened to Michael Jordan in basketball. It's a different type of game, I think, where there's a little bit more randomness to it, hockey and baseball. So I don't know. That's what I think makes it very tough on the coaches for hockey in particular, when you just can't figure out why a guy can't put the puck in the net through all those bodies. Sometimes you look and everything's going in. You're like, how did that go in? How did this go in? There's a million people standing in front of the net. There's nothing to shoot at, and yet it went in. Well, and other times you're thinking nobody could ever score. How come they can't get a shot through?
Well, I mean, if you're you know, comparing it to last year, especially the second half of the season, there was no expectations. So I know as a former athlete, when there's no expectations, you know, some guys tend to just play freely and they can just go and it's like, wow, okay, I didn't see that coming. But they're playing without this expectation or this sort of weight on their back. They're able to just play freely. But then you see some when the expectations is there, as it has been for the Nashville Predators, sometimes you can't, you know, find whatever you need to find to get yourself into that rhythm. Like, listen, they all knew, you know, everybody in Nashville, especially in that organization, they knew when you brought those three guys in and you re-signed UC Soros to a huge contract, what the expectations were going to be. The expectations were through the roof. Now, maybe they didn't anticipate the chemistry being what it is and them not being able to find chemistry consistently, but everybody knew what the expectations were coming into this season. And maybe, just maybe, sometimes when that expectation is so large, you're pressing a little bit too much on all ends, whether it be a head coach, a GM, or just the players.
And one thing I want to add before we get to our next caller, Derek, to come off of that, it's not like the players they brought in don't know how to handle expectations. Exactly. Yeah. Steven Stamkos knows how to handle expectations. Ryan O'Reilly knows how to handle expectations.
Right.
Jonathan Marchessault, Forsberg, Yossi, they've played long playoff runs. You know, O'Reilly and Marchessault have been playoff MVPs. Steven Stamkos has won multiple championships. That's the other part about it that's confounding, is that these are players that know how to handle expectations. Tristan is on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Tristan, thank you for calling. Please go ahead.
Hey, okay, one thing or several things, like how old are these players? That's one thing, because your body is going to break down. Like, I'm 34. Like, if I continue playing, like, I stopped in high school football playing football in high school because I am not a college football player. Like, your body is, breaks down, like, in speed. Like, if you're young, you're going to have tons of speed. That's where the Predators are missing. Like, Hal Gill, we don't have, like, a Hal Gill that's, like, an enforcer on the team. Like, you don't have that Eddie George, like, on Derek Mason's team was that kind of like a leader just by having a commanding voice. And he's now a head coach of TSU football. So we kind of don't have that voice in the locker room, like somebody that is emotional and can just like get this team. We have the coach. We just don't have that voice like that can say, this is our time. And so, yes, I'll let you talk about that.
Tristan, thank you for calling. Now, I may not be recalling this correctly, but I believe Tristan called in a couple of weeks ago and said that the Predators should strip Roman Yossi of the captaincy. So though that call was along similar lines. Now, let me say this about the conditioning part. Mm-hmm. We know that the Predators acquired older players in relation to their playing careers, but Steven Stamkos may be what? Is he 34, Willie? Steven Stamkos might be 34 years old. I'm 35 years old. Steven Stamkos is in prime physical condition. I'm not worried about his conditioning now. Will he get slower as he ages? Absolutely. It's just, as Derek knows full well, father time is undefeated. But I am not concerned about their conditioning level or their bodies breaking down. I know Steven Stamkos, the injuries that Steven Stamkos has dealt with in his career have been pretty significant. But there, other than that, he has consistently been in the lineup for either the Lightning or the Predators. So, you know, but like this idea, Derek, that the Predators don't have these voices. Well, we're not in the dressing room.
What happened to the term serial winners, right? These are guys that have won a lot. Like, I don't buy that theory though.
I don't either.
They've got guys that have been captains on championship teams in there. I don't think that's the issue.
And I think we actually said this the last time, Derek, that Tristan called in. And I don't mean to pick on Tristan. We appreciate him calling in. But I do think that there is this antiquated idea that you're not a good leader unless you are willing to scream and yell. Now, is there a time to scream and yell? Absolutely. But this idea that the best leaders are the ones that get in their teammates' faces and call into question their commitment and all of those things. Is there a time and a place for that when the pressure's on? Absolutely. And you know that full well. But just because I'll bring up Roman Yossi again. Just because Roman Yossi presents himself as a mild-mannered guy does not mean that he's not saying the hard things, does not mean that he's not a good leader. I just think, Derek, that sports fans have this idea, this old-fashioned idea, that you're not a good leader unless you're screaming and yelling.
Well, the reality of it is this. More leaders are more quiet than anything when it comes to sports. That's the reality. They're only showing you a snippet of a few guys in certain instances, a certain moment. But I've played with these guys, whether it be Eddie George, Steve McNair, Ray Lewis, Ed Reed, Terrell Suggs, guys that were considered leaders on this team. Brad, all these guys that were considered leaders, they weren't always vocal, and they were not always in your face. You know, what you would see is snippets of moments, but these guys wasn't every week, if we lost, they wasn't screaming and yelling. Or if we had a losing streak for 2 weeks, 2-3 weeks, they wasn't screaming and yelling.
And Ray Lewis was the intense
individual.
Exactly.
So I think people get this false sense of, as many people do, when it comes to, you know, things that are on social media, and they just see these snapshots of people yelling and screaming. That's one time out of probably 600 times. So don't mistake that for, oh, every guy or girl should be that way. More times than not, everybody's like a Steve McNair. Everybody's like a Peyton Manning, where I don't need to yell and scream. I lead by example. If I got something to say to you, I'm going to say it directly to you, and we're going to be done with it. But I'm not going to scream and yell. You're going to have it every once in a while. And like you said, Adam, every once in a while, it does need to happen, or it may need to happen, or the moment may call for that. But to say that, whether it be Roman Yossi or any other guy on that roster, especially Roman Yossi, that he has to yell and scream to get people's attention, I don't think he has to do that. Now, every once in a while, he may do that in the confines of the locker room, but I don't see him doing that on the ice. I see him leading by example or pulling guys to the side and talking to them or talking as a group. But just because he doesn't yell doesn't mean he's not a leader.
615-737.
I don't think it's the problem. If I could boil it down to one thing, Adam, as we sort of cut this off for the day, right? Because we're going to ask D Mace, we're going to do other things on the show, but this will be a theme that's running for a while. I still think if you had to start listing where the problems start, I do think it starts at the lack of production at center. I think that's where you start. Everything else is in there. I think we've hit a lot of it, but I think this. The central fault right now, they've got to get more production down the middle.
615-737-1025. Excellent conversation, everybody. As I said, we weren't planning on doing an hour plus of Predators talk, but excellent calls, excellent text. And now it's time for Ask D-Mace. So get your questions in now. 615-737-1025. You can call. You can text on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ask D-Mace. Coming up next, Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025-1063. The game.
G-Mace. He played 15 years in the NFL.
Quick throw. Touchdown, Derek Mason.
He had over 12,000 receiving yards.
Midfield, and there he goes. 80 yards for the touchdown.
And now you can ask him anything. Have a question about football or life? Now is your time to ask D-Mace.
We'll welcome you in.
Now,
G-Mace.
On 102.5 and 106.3, The Game and the Game Nashville app.
It's time to ask D-Mace on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. It's time to ask D-Mace, so get your questions in now at 615-737-1025. Okay, we have to start with this one. We did talk about this yesterday, mm-hmm. Derek. Willie was not with us, so he may have missed this.
Okay.
Joey from Bellevue says, Derek, forgive me if this has been brought up. Did you catch the Choice Is Yours segment with Robbie and Joe? They asked who within the station can change a car battery, change a tire, and a headlight bulb in their cars. What's your take? It was hilarious. They said they believe Willie could do all three. Mm-hmm. They believe you could as well, but would just pay someone to do it for you. And they had no faith in Adam.
Well, we did discuss that one yesterday. And Adam basically,
I admitted it. I can't do any of them.
Yes.
I can't do any of them. Now, Willie, can you do all three?
Okay, give me the three again.
So one, the question was, the question from Robbie was, who at our station could do the following three things? Change a tire, replace a car battery, and change a broken headlight bulb.
Okay, I'm going to give myself a 2 for 3. Changing the battery, that is not – I am not doing that. I would not have confidence.
Willie, but that's probably the easiest one to do.
I think so. I think that's the easiest one of all of them.
It takes no energy, really. Just undo it, take it out, and put it in, and – it's easy.
Okay. Well, maybe I can be taught that. I have not done that. Mm-hmm. I've definitely changed the headlight. I can do that. That's doable. The tire thing, I can do it, and I have done it. It's just,
I feel like it
gets harder. There's more stuff now, like the bolts and stuff to keep people from easily being able to get the lug nuts loose and stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm not very skilled at it. Like if I had to do it, I can. But man, I sure love when I've been really lucky when once or twice when I've blown out a tire that some nice person has appeared to say, can I help you out? Or, you know, something like that. I'm like, heck yeah, you can help me out.
As a matter of fact, you can do it.
Come on out. Here's my jack. Here's the leather. Can you help me out? Come on.
Oh, man.
Chase has chimed in and says, I have done all three, and I'm sure they said I couldn't do any of them. I can't remember what Robbie and Joe and Keezer said about Chase, but Chase says he can do all three. Now, Derek, you said yesterday that you can do all three.
Yes.
The answer from Robbie and Joe was that you could, but since you are a man of means, you wouldn't have to do it if you didn't want to.
Yeah, I would probably, unless I was just out somewhere and changed a tire, but to my knowledge, I don't have a spare tire. I don't have a spare tire in my car. So it's a run flat. I wouldn't have to change it. I would have to either drive to the dealership or drive to a tire place or just have somebody come and pick it up, which I did do. I had a blowout on the highway, and somebody just – they had to come and pick up the car because I didn't have a tire. So, but I can do all three, but, yeah, I just – sometimes you just choose not to.
All right, here's the next question from Chuck, and I think this is Andrew Brunette related.
Mm-hmm.
There's been a lot of talk about the Predator system and whether he has the right players to run that system. And as we've also discussed, there have been some tweaks that they have made recently. And, Willie, I actually sent you the clip from Sportsnet that Elliot Freeman was addressing with us yesterday, so you could take a look at that if you'd like. Chuck.
Yeah, I know. I have looked at it, and I'm going to send it to Hal Gill and Chris Mason, too. We are going to do it because I brought this up to their attention, too. Mm-hmm. We're going to start talking about this a little bit more on our broadcast, so it's a good thing just to try to define what these little tweaks are.
So, Derek, this is the question from Chuck. I'm a head coach, and I want to play fast. I have a choice of players. Lineup number one has Willie, Adam, and Jared. Mm-hmm. Lineup two has D-Mace, Chris Sanders, and Joe Rexroad. Is lineup number one or number two better to implement my fast play system? Before you answer that question, I just want to say this. I don't think Willie would be on the team with me and Jared. I think Willie would be on the team with Derek and Chris. Joe is not fast.
Yeah.
I'm not fast. I assume Jared isn't fast. But let's just use the lineup that they gave. Willie, me, and Jared versus you, Chris Sanders, and Joe Rexroad.
Well.
Which lineup is better to play my fast play system?
What's the fast play system?
Yeah, what's the fast play system?
I don't know.
Are we playing hockey? Or are we playing football? Are we playing basketball? What are we doing here?
That's a very
because if we're playing hockey, I tell you right now, I'm losing because I'm not ice skater. Okay,
and I'm not helping anybody in hockey.
Exactly.
On ice.
So it might be a wash.
I'm just getting
like
a
laugh. The Keystone Cops out there.
I'm just getting a laugh at again. I assume Chuck's answering his own question by saying you and Chris being on the same team, but he includes Joe Rexroad.
Joe's dealing with a bad knee. He ain't running nowhere.
Joe can barely make it up the stairs.
Exactly.
So, let alone run. So
I don't think he knew about that injury part. Joe didn't disclose his injury report prior to the question being asked.
Yeah, so. That's
Joe's just getting shots. Taking shots, man.
Joe's taking shots.
Well, to be fair, Joe sometimes sets himself up.
Yeah. He does. Yeah,
anything that happens is because of Rex Rope. So,
yes.
There you go.
Absolutely. All right. Eric is on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Eric, let's hear your dad joke.
Yeah, I'm going to get to it in a minute, and also my SD mates. But one quick thing I wanted to say, guys. Today, I'm going to be at the Kroger's in Green Hills ringing the bell for the Salvation Army from 5 to 6. So I'm just throwing that out there.
Excellent.
Okay, great. Right.
Okay. Here's my dad joke, D Mace. And I told you last time, this is a 2-for-1 dad joke. So hope you like it. Okay. What type of restaurants do vampires hate?
Restaurants, vampires hate the Olive Garden. I don't know.
No, steakhouses.
You see what he did there?
Steakhouses. Yeah. Vampires don't like steaks.
Now, what is the? Now, here's the other part of the dad joke. What is a vampire's favorite restaurant?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Drac in the Box.
Okay. I like the first one better. I like the first one better.
Well, both of these jokes I made up. So yeah. I just felt you like. But here's my ask the Mace question, and you guys may have already talked about this. I don't know, and that's last night's Detroit Green Bay game. Listen, I love Dan Campbell as a coach, but I just think he goes for it on fourth down too much because it's reckless. Luckily, it worked when, of course, you had Goff stumble when he was trying to hand off the ball. But that, to me, kind of reminded me of the Giants-Eagles game a number of years ago when Herm Edwards picked up the ball and ran in for a touchdown. That helped make Eagles make the playoffs. I just think at times when he does that, it's reckless, and everybody loves it and say it's great, and they admire him, the chutzpah, for doing that, and his balls and all this type of stuff. But here's the thing. I just remember last year where twice he went for it against San Francisco. Didn't work. They lost the game, and, of course, fans found out where he lived, and they showed up at his house, and he had to move because of that. I think it's set up for Detroit best possible to get to Super Bowl and win it, because if they don't this year, I think Green Bay is going to be better next year, because I think they're kind of like Detroit of last year. It's just, you know, you got to think of situational football, in my opinion, and about when to go for it and when it's smart not to, because of the other teams like Kansas City, Buffalo, and Philadelphia. And just wanted to get you guys' thoughts on that. Guys, it's always good to talk to you. Y'all have a great weekend. We'll talk to you again soon.
You as well.
Thank you, Eric. Appreciate it. Listen, I don't mind Dan Campbell and what he does, because this is who he is. Everyone in that organization knows who he is. They know that, listen, you may go for it on fourth and one when you're already within field goal range and it's a tie game. You know that Dan Campbell will you know, pull out, you know, a play and go for it. So I think the team is used to it now. Now, when it comes to the playoffs, I think that's where the fan base would probably want him to be a little bit more conscious of, like you said, Eric, situational football. That's why the fan bases are so upset last year, because it happened in the playoffs. Had it happened in a regular season, fan base wouldn't have been upset. Yeah, they would have probably, you know, there would have been a few that would have been, you know, what is he doing? But for the most part, the Lion fan base was like, they would have been like, listen, that's who he is. We love him as a coach. And you know, the decisions that he has made thus far has worked. But I do agree with Eric in regards to situations when you're in the playoff. Will you do that again next year, or would he have went for it last night if that was a playoff game? I don't think he would have went for it last night had that been a playoff game, unless he was probably on his third or fourth kicker. Now, you can do that in a regular season game and it not hurt you nearly as much as it would in the playoffs. So I think under that circumstance, last night, if that's a playoff game, 4-for-1, game tied, 40-some seconds left, and you're within field goal range, I don't think you go for it on fourth down.
Chuck, by the way, has responded. He presented the question about the teams playing fast. He goes, it can be any game you wish to play. My point was that even though Slow Joe was on their team, they would be the faster team.
Yeah, yeah.
That's fair.
But just because.
But he is underestimating my ability to elevate Adam and Jared. Just get the ball.
Coach Willie's going to be coming out.
Man, yeah. unless they get the Willie, you know, that 17, 18-year-old Willie, I don't think it's going to happen. You elevating Willie.
Yeah, I know that Rex Road.
So Willie in the 1990s.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm on the back nine.
Rex Road, like, you've seen the movie Along Came Polly, right?
Yes.
Rex Road. Yeah. Rex Road is, you know, when Ben Stiller and Philip Seymour Hoffman are playing 2-on-2. Rex Road's the guy on the other team with the Rex specs. He's serious. Now, hopefully he doesn't take his shirt off and get all sweaty. But Rex Road takes no prisoners.
Rex Road will use the bows, man. That's what Rex Road.
The
will
Rex
do.
Specs, R-E-X specs. The Rex specs. Rex Road takes pickup basketball seriously. And
I'm sure he does.
Something tells me Willie also does too. Willie is sharpening those elbows. I guarantee it.
First of all, Along Came Polly is a solid movie. It's kind of been lost in the shuffle, but I would say if that comes, that's a solid rewatchable movie. It holds up. But yeah, I'm kind of not playing pickup like I used to. But yeah, I used to play a pretty hardcore pickup game. I've gotten in some shouting matches on the pickup circuit. Yes. For sure.
Willie,
the rules of the asphalt. That's what I like to call it when you go play pickup.
The one rule, no blood, no foul, and that's the game we will
play.
No
blood, no foul, and also always know the score. Because you are going to get a fight on what the score is. At
exactly.
Some point.
Yes.
Six. It's 8-6. No, it's not 8-6. No, name your 8 points. Go back. No, Derek hit one. Adam hit one. I hit a three, right? No, it's 8-6. Our ball.
Ball up. Ball up, man. Come on.
Check it. 6
respect
one,
the call, man.
Six,
respect the call. Respect six, the call.
615-737-1025. Yesterday, a Titans coach made some comments that went. I wouldn't say viral on Twitter, but they definitely got passed around. But we never heard them. Now we're going to actually hear what this coach had to say. Coming up next, Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Ryan's talked a couple of times this year about examples of things he feels like he's done to adjust and change in his first year on the job. I'm curious, do you have examples of things that you've done to adjust in your first year as a coordinator? Just...
Are you talking about Ryan Stonehouse? I'm confused what you're... Oh, Brian, I thought you were saying Ryan Stonehouse. My bad. No, just technique. Just, you know, working with these guys, just making sure we're all on the same page, you know, communicating on the same level at that point. But, you know, just being confident in what I'm doing and making sure the guys are... There's clarity in everything that we're doing. You know, early in the year, you could probably say that I was assuming guys knew what they were doing. So I felt like I, you know, have learned, you know, how guys learn in certain situations. And, you know, we're going to continue to grow and get better.
That was Colt Anderson, Titans special teams coach, yesterday. Those comments... in written form, spread throughout social media yesterday. I assumed guys know what they were doing. We saw it during our show. We mentioned it, but we wanted to actually hear it because we wanted to hear the context of the question. We wanted to hear how we answered it. But as Willie is fond of saying, this is the perfect time for media consultant Willie to say, maybe
yes.
When you are answering this question, don't say you assumed that your players knew how to do something. I mean, it's just it's an inexperienced coaching staff in terms of the head coach, the offensive coordinator, the defensive coordinator, the special teams coach. I don't know how many interviews Colt Anderson gave previously. I know he played in the league, but even then, I don't know how many interviews he conducted, you know, up until this point when he has to speak weekly. But Derek, now that you've heard those comments versus just seeing them tweeted, what is your response?
Oh, yeah, you always got to know context. That's why, you know, I'm glad that, you know, we chose not to really get into it until we heard the audio tape and what was asked of him and how he sort of answered it. First, I want to say is this. He's not media savvy. I guarantee you, he's just not one of those guys that have been in front of the media a lot. So when he's thrust, you know, because that's part of the job. When you are a coordinator, whether the offensive coordinator or defensive coordinator, head coach, special teams coordinator, you're going to have your time in front of the microphone, in front of the media. And some guys are not comfortable with that. No matter how many times they do it, they rather just go out and do their job and, you know, not have to answer any questions. So I'm going to give him a pass on because he sound nervous and everything else. But listening to him, I know what he means. See, this is the part where I think I can really give you an insight on this, and maybe y'all can just look at it from a different standpoint. He played in this league for a while, and I'm sure he cut his teeth in special teams, and he excelled in special teams so much so he's a special teams coordinator. And when you excel at something and you do it well, then ultimately you get the job, and you're explaining things in meetings. You're expecting guys to get it. Because this is your first, you know, your first opportunity to sit in front of a bunch of guys and be the leader of these men. And you're going over, because I guarantee you, these special teams meetings, especially at the beginning of the year, these things last about 45 minutes to an hour. Okay? So I'm sure he went over a lot of things. And when he makes that comment, he's making it from the standpoint of, okay, I went over all this stuff. Anybody got any questions? Anybody don't understand? And this is what, and people, this is what is being said in these rooms. I am telling you verbatim. Hey, we're going over punt coverage. All right, you got this guy. Protect this. All right, anybody got any questions? I'm going to go over some film. I'm going to show you what I want. Boom, boom, boom. Anybody got any questions before we move on? Raise your hand. Let me know. If you're feeling a little confused about something, let me know now. All right, nobody raises their hand. All right, I assume everybody got it. Let's move on to the next thing. So forth and so on. And then when you get out there on the field and practice, okay, everything seems to go the way that you explained it in the meeting room. But then some guys have a problem with not just taking it from the meeting room to practice, but actually taking it from practice to a game. And that's where you get the, okay, all week I thought these guys had it. And then you get out there in the game and it's like, you don't have it. I assumed you did because we went over it for an hour. I asked if anybody had questions. I went over it again. We went over it out on the field. And somehow now you don't understand it? I assumed you did, you know? So don't get on him because he said, I assumed they knew it. Just like parents. When we tell our kids something and we ask them, do you understand? Do you have any, you know, objections to what I'm saying? Or don't you understand? And they don't say anything. You figure, okay, you got it. Because I asked you. And then you go out there and do opposite. It's like, I thought you had it. Now we got to come back in here. Now we got to go over it again. I believe that is what he meant. Okay, now, listen, you can take it. You can take what I said with a grain of salt. You can say, Derek, you don't know a damn thing. You can say it. But I'm just telling you, I've been in those rooms for 15 years. I was a critical part of a special teams unit. I was coached by one of the best special teams coaches that was in the National Football League. So if he says, raises his hand to say, hey, listen, anybody got any questions? And everybody's sitting like, nah, we ain't got no questions, coach. Then you go out there on the practice field. Because even sometimes you go out on the practice field and you do opposite of what the coach says. And the coach looking at you like, I asked you, did you have a question? Did you not understand it? Then you get out here on a practice field 20 minutes later and you don't do what I'm asking you? Like, seriously. So don't make too much of him saying, listen, I just assumed they had it. Please don't do that.
It's a classic example of out of context, as we suspected yesterday, where if you just took that sentence, you would say, what is this guy talking about? What does he know? And they have the 32nd ranked special teams unit. So there is a sense that, hey, this coach doesn't know what he's doing. So you see a quote like that and everybody piles on, aha, see, he's a vegetable head. I've been telling you, he's incompetent. You know, it's they pile on because nothing has gone right. But if you listen to the quote, I have a similar take as you, D-Mace. Mm-hmm. I heard him say this. It's like I'm the new eighth grade teacher, right, at a school. And I'm teaching math, and I'm coming in, and I'm assuming that in seventh grade, everybody in my class the year before has the multiplication tables memorized, right? So I start my lessons, and then I figure out Jared over here, my student, he was in a different school. He hadn't learned the multiplication tables. That wasn't taught in his school. And maybe three or four other kids, I find out, too, that that's the case. So I started my lesson plans assuming everybody had a baseline knowledge of what we need to teach to go to the next level. Like maybe, you know, in high school and college, Colt Anderson assumed that these are things that you learned on special teams, some basic principles. So I'm starting with the next level. But then he realizes, I got to go back. I need to start from scratch. I can't assume these guys have been taught these things, so I need to start from square one. I think that's what he was saying. It's pretty simple when you listen to the whole conversation, if you're paying attention. If you're just trying to play gotcha and jump on a sentence and then tweet it out and say, aha, this guy's an idiot, then I don't think you're really seeing the whole picture.
615-737-1025. Coming up next, it is college football championship weekend. Which games will have the most impact on the final college football playoff rankings this weekend? We'll discuss that next. Billy Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here. And if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.